The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And today, the president of Iron Gate Wine, it is Warren Porter. Warren, thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Look forward to it. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm fine. I'm on the other side of the country, and it's very, very cold. So I'm hoping it'll still be warm in Toronto when I get back.
Well, as we record this, it is Remembrance Day, November 11th, and it was another hot, gorgeous day here in Toronto.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Patio weather.
Lovely.
Yes, which is good for the restaurants as the government and legislation is slamming them right now. But, well, that's a topic for another day. But I first, just if you could tell people a little bit about Iron Gate, about your company, about what you do.
Sure. So Iron Gate started in 2004 as a storage facility, purely wine storage. And we wound up expanding outside of that, after a few years, clients, of course, who store their wine and not restaurants and things. These are all private individuals. And people were looking to sell their wine, and we began to help them send it to auction houses in the United States. And then after a few years, we began finding them retailers in the United States and in Hong Kong who would purchase their collections. And then about 4 years ago, we began the process of looking to become our own retailer in New York State, which we then became. So Iron Gate Wine Iron Gate Dot Wine is a retailer out of Buffalo, New York. And so we kind of have a lot of different aspects to the business. And then I'll migrate into what we're talking about here tonight, which is the auction side, which is all very new. And so what we've done is we kind of try to meet a whole bunch of the different requirements that a wine collector will have, from storing to selling to managing their collection with inventory management software we have in their home, all kinds of stuff. And then just recently, and the reason that you and I are talking today is because the AGCO has finally allowed charity to be able to sell their wine online in an auction. Now, if your listeners aren't familiar with what that looks like, I'll kind of set it up from the beginning. So about 10 plus years ago, we were contracted by maybe longer than that, by the Toronto Symphony to assist them with their wine auction. And what they do, Matt, is they go out to their base of supporters and they say, we want to hold a wine auction. Will you donate wine to us? And we'll give you a tax receipt for it. They don't buy it off them. They get a tax receipt for the appraised value of the wine. No different than donating art or securities or whatever to your favorite charity. And that was allowable. You're allowed to auction wine in Ontario if it's a charitable, it's for a charitable auction under a sheriff seizure or under a, what the heck's the third one? Why am I drawing a blank? Sheriff seizure, charitable auction, or an estate. Those are the three ways you're allowed to sell wine. So we worked with them. We stored the wine. We lotted the wine. We photographed the wine. We did all the things to assist them in pulling off an auction. There's a lot of heavy lifting. And then every, second or third week of November, they would hold a live auction on the top of the tower at CIBC. And people would come and they would bid on it. And it's exactly what you think of a live auction, guy banging a gavel, right?
Yep.
But we knew even, back then, when people were, when eBay was more common and people are used to online auctions. So we knew that the way that this charity is going to realize more money is if we were able to put this event online. So we began to lobby for that. And the AGCO and kind of the LCBO, nobody really took ownership.
By the way, if I can interrupt you, the AGCO, could you give the full just who they are?
Sure. The Alcohol Gaming Commission of Ontario.
Yeah.
They regulate the LCBO. So we would go to the AGCO when any rules needed to be looked at or changed. And the AGCO said, talk to the LCBO. And the LCBO said, talk to the AGCO. And we went back and forth and never really God knew where. And we lobbied and we brought in lawyers and we, you know, talked directly with finance minister and a whole bunch of other things because it just
really made sense.
And they had nothing to do with it. In fact, it was kind of funny because at one point we sat in this meeting and they said, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. You know, it's something that we should look at. We'll get back to you, which, you know, usually doesn't mean that much. And then smash cut to about 2 years later, we kept, you know, poking back every so often. And eventually the woman who we were dealing with retired and didn't pass it on to anybody. So I went, well, that was time well spent. But typical stuff, right? So anyway, so they, because of COVID, charities could no longer have a live auction, obviously. So as it has for a number of things, Matt, including wine agents being able to mix cases and restaurants being able to sell out of their loose bottles out of their store, this came to the forefront as well. And the charity that first moved that needle was the Grapes for Humanity auction, which was Geddy Lee's. One that came off very successfully. They managed to get one. And then we knew at that point, once they had that, then that's where it was going to start. And it's not like they're going to not do it after that. And that auction raised about $500,000 for the hospitality sector. And I guarantee you, they wouldn't have raised a fraction of that if that had to be a live auction. So for all the reasons that we said, we need to do this, it makes sense. So we had a platform ready for this eventuality. And so the AGCO on, I think it was the 16th of October, said, okay, we're making a permanent rule. Charities can now auction stuff online. And so we picked up all the TSO stuff and we put it onto our online platform. And you can go now to irongateauctions.com and see a preview of every lot. And the auction will go live at noon on November the 17th, next Tuesday, will continue until November the 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern, so that you got time to finish dinner and go back and get your last couple of bids in. And on the site, you know, we've got a very, very robust e-commerce site that we have for our retail engine in the United States. So we kind of strapped a module onto that. So the nice thing about it is, you know, if you just want to look at Bordeaux, you can say, just show me the Bordeaux lots you've got. Show me the lots that are only pre-2000. Show me the lots that have a starting bid as low as $50. I mean, you know, all kinds of filters. A very, very easy site.
Really? For irongatewine.ca or .com?
Well, it's irongateauctions.com.
Irongateauctions.com, yeah. Oh, that is a great search engine, especially for the wine geeks out there, like people like me that are always searching and, you know, looking for older Burgundy or Bordeaux. That's a great option.
Well, it's really kind of cool because when we look at the other auction sites that are out there, Matt, they, you know, you've got a, there's 500 lots in this auction. So that's a lot of heavy lifting and a lot of stuff you don't care about. I mean, you're drinking a California Pinot tonight. And so if you just said, show me everything that's from California, you can do that. We don't filter by varietal because you've got blends, right? And so we filter by vintage, starting bid, country, and then you can search for any particular kind of producer. And so there's tags and there's links and there's all kinds of stuff. It's very easy. So you don't have to sift through 500 lots. I've got clients that drink nothing but Burgundy. And so just filter Burgundy and then change your starting to whatever. And if you're just looking for Givry Chambertin, then you can just look for those and see what's in there. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we're excited about it.
By the way, people out there that are just in a Burgundy, give Martinborough, New Zealand, give those Pinots a try, or the charity you did for hospitality, Thomas Batchelder, try some of their single vineyard Pinot. There's so much great Pinot Noir that is out there. Having said that, who doesn't like a good glass of Chambertin?
Well, that's true. And you, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a lot of things that we do well. We've got some Canadian Pinots, I'm sure, in there. Not a lot of Canadian wine. But, you know, we've got, there's almost $1 million worth of wine there. And there's some highlights. You know, we've got a bottle of 1869 Lafite in the auction.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How do you know how much that's, what the bid is for that, what that's sort of going for around?
Well, here's the thing with the 1869. The one bottle had sold in Hong Kong a number of years ago for, if memory serves, about $200,000. There was also a Magnum that sold a few years ago at Zaki's for $120,000 US, but that's ex-Chateau. So ex-Chateau means came right from Lafitte.
Right.
That always puts a premium on the wine because, you know its provenance. So I don't know. I really don't. I mean, we looked to sell it in the US for a while at, I think, around $100,000 mark. And I said to the owner, look, there's a handful of people in the world who will pay this for this bottle of wine. If we can find them, terrific. He eventually donated it to the TSO.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah. So that's one that we'll be selling. We've got a vertical of, I think, 31 bottles of Dunhow Mountain, all signed by the winemaker.
Damn.
Yeah, those are great, amazing wines, as you know. There is a 6-liter Ornellaia that is one of only 20 in the world. We've got a 2009 Latache. We've got a 1972, maybe 79, I think a 72 Romani Conti. There's lots of, I mean, there's something for everybody in there. There's from the highest end to everyday drinking wines, right?
Yeah.
So it's fun. If you haven't done an auction before, we really hope we've done everything we can to make it very easy to do. And here's the bonus. Have you ever bought anything at an online wine auction before, Matt, somewhere else?
I've done it, and I'm embarrassed because I picked it up from you guys. I'm assuming it was through Iron Gate, but Cystic Fibrosis Foundation here in Toronto. I used to go and help host the events there back when, before COVID. And then they did their online auction last year. I got some Helen Turley Zinfandel. I was angry. There was some Chilean Cab I wanted to get, but someone outbid me in the last hour. So yeah, I did the Cystic Fibrosis event last year.
Thank you for that, because that one's my charity. It's one that I sit on the board of that charity, and we've done it for years at the Delta downtown.
Yep.
One of my best friends passed away from cystic fibrosis about 10 years ago. And so that's why it's my cause. And so we started to do that. And I said to CF, look, we've got this wine that we were going to use for the gala. And so we should put it online, which we did. And it worked out really, really well for them. There's a couple of, where I was going with that originally is it should be a fun and easy process.
It is, by the way. Sorry to interrupt for a second. It was super easy. And I have a BlackBerry, and I'm a dummy when it comes to technology. The auction for the cystic fibrosis. And by the way, I'm so sorry about your friend. That's a horrible story.
Long for a guy with CF. He lived into his mid-40s, and that's long for a guy with CF. Great guy. And so we do this stuff in his memory.
Well, it was super easy. And I'm kind of like Jaws in the original movie, and I'm circling the orca, the ship with Roy Scheider on it. And there's a couple things I'm looking at for the cystic fibrosis. So I'm definitely going to be donating again. There's some old German wines I'm also looking at.
Yeah. Well, I like those old German wines. You'll do well because some of those more obscure wines in these auctions, a lot of people don't know about. So some come because they want to support the team. But you know what? It's a great thing you mentioned that, Matt, because when we did the decant auction and these old, rare, obscure German wines would sit on the silent auction table at the back of the room and they wouldn't sell because a lot of them are really expensive.
But yeah.
People don't know about them. And so when we did the online auction, they sold at a really, really great rate. And I said to the board after that, I said, so what we've learned here is that when COVID's done and we go back to our gala, on the silent auction table in the back, we should have things like Silver Oak and Camus and whatever. But the more obscure wines that people would need to research, we'll continue to do those online and split it up.
Warren, I have to push back, and this is the worst part of me as a human being. Please don't do that. Even though it would raise money and would help for cystic fibrosis or help for wonderful causes. What about Matt Cause here?
I'll call it my Matt Cause.
No, you got it. You can't release it to the public. I remember going to one of the cystic fibrosis events. I bought some beautiful German Eiswein that I got for a crazy price. And me and a friend of mine, Winnie Go, member of the National Club. I of course you know Winnie. Everyone knows Winnie. We were circling these like Rieslings and these German ice wines, and we're like, oh my God, no one's bidding on them. It was fantastic. So I love that it's raising money. I love it's helping your charity. But as a greedy wine guy, some of these undervalued ones, I want them to stay undervalued.
Well, here's what I think will wind up happening to this. In the TSO auction, for example, I think there's quite a number of those. So you'll have lots of ones to choose from. And I think those are always good plays. Because look, it's like anything. If you're looking for you know, Camus Special Select or Dunn Howell Mountain, you're going to be getting into a bidding war with somebody. And those aren't really my taste either.
Yeah.
People who drink a lot of wine have a tendency to move a little bit towards a lot of the more obscure wines, older Alsatian Rieslings, those German ones, old Burgundy. There's a 1928 Beaune in the
really?
TSO auction. So a lot of neat stuff like that. We, you know, when you drink enough wine, you can get bored pretty easily. And so we like to try a lot of obscure wines. But anyway, it's a it's turned out well. And there's a couple of main reasons that that I believe that the TSO is going to double their income, at least in this auction. And that is obviously you're audience is much larger. So at the live auction, you know, they might get, I'm going to say 100 people to the top of the tower who'll come out on a Thursday night and, you know, and eat cheese and crackers. Whereas here, you know, it'll go, I've got clients in Vancouver who are looking and here in Calgary. So that's one. The second reason that this is much better for them is because you can do a lot more lots, okay? When we did the auction in that was live, they said, you got to keep 250 lots. Well, I had a lot of wine, so the value of the lots was very high. And there's a direct correlation to how much money you will get depending on the value of the lot. So, for example, if I've got a $10,000 lot, you know, I'm more likely to get $7,500 for it, $6,000 for it. But if I have 10 lots of 1,000, they're going to go for 1,000 or 1,200 because that's just the bite-sized pieces that people want to take.
Right.
When it's an online auction, I'm not limited to the amount as long as I make it easy for people to find, search, filter. So that's one of the reasons that they're going to make they'll make a lot more money on this. We're excited that this is kind of the launching pad for the first one. But what I foresee is Iron Gate Auctions as being a way that a charity can come and now have another way of raising money at a time when they need to raise money. And so, you know, we've kind of productized this and made it as simple as you solicit for the wine from your donor base and we'll take care of everything else. We'll take care of the appraisal. We'll take care of the pickup. We'll take care of the lotting, the storage, the photography, the delivery to the end client. We'll do all that. You just find us the wine.
It's a great thing because you don't think about it, but that's a lot of heavy lifting. It's a lot of the little mini jobs, and a lot of those little mini jobs, they add up in terms of hours.
They couldn't do it. They couldn't possibly do it.
No, not especially something like a TSO or like these, or even the cystic fibrosis. It's so much work. Warren, I need to go back a little bit here.
Yep.
To anyone who's listening from the LCBO, I promise I'm not trying to shit on you. And the LCBO does so much good stuff in terms of being able to ship bottle from LCBO to LCBO. The LCBO is great for people that live in small communities. The LCBO is great for certain Italian places where they buy lots of wine from the Veneto region, so you get it at a good price. But when you started talking here, your clients and what the work you could do was for your clients in Hong Kong and the United States, none of them in Canada. How difficult did the LCBO, and not just them, just the government here in Ontario, did they make your life? How difficult did they make it to do auctions, to do selling of wines? This should be simple retail. But again, the LCBO, they seem kind of draconian.
Let me tell you a story that will highlight that.
sorry, but yeah.
A number of years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Stephen Sokolowski who was charged and convicted stealing, I think, about $1 million from a children's cancer charity.
Oh, my God.
And Stephen had a big seller, a relatively big seller, not huge, but he had a big seller. And we were entrusted with the task of seizing that asset and putting it up for auction, or selling it, however, to try to recover some of the money from this kid's cancer charity. So we said to the LCBO and the AGCO, look, we all have the same goal here. That's to recover as much money as we possibly can. We'll do this for free. But know that I must do this online in order to have this make sense. And I said, look, and don't even change your rules if you don't want to, because they said what one of the requirements was that the auction take place in a physical space. And I said, fine, then why don't you and I define the physical space as the server room at 151 Front Street where the auction server resides? And that will help us get through it, and you don't have to change anything. How about that? And they went back and forth, and the LCBO said AGCO, and the AGCO said LCBO, and at the end of the day, they went, no, you're not going to do it. And I said, okay, then I have to hold a live auction, but it's not going to raise much money. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. What if I held a live auction, but people just did absentee bids, right? We're going to find a way around this somehow. And, you know, people don't like doing absentee bids, and I didn't really want to hold one. And so the end result was ridiculous, because it was me in my office and a bunch of people showed up, not a lot, because that was never the intention to have a live auction. And we raised very little for this cancer charity. And that's when I knew, look, if you can't do it for this, then man, somebody is digging their heels in. But, you know, it's kind of like, I think what happens with the board and other things of this type, it's a bit of a bag of marbles with a hole in it. And if your rules are dropping around you and exceptions are being made, then that's when, you know, hey, if these guys can do a charity auction online, then why can't I? And if we can do a charity auction, why can't we do a regular auction? And if we can do that, why can't we have a store? And so it becomes this domino effect. So I get why they try to plug holes in things, because the more you say no to everything, the easier it is to hang on to your monopoly. That's my opinion.
You know what it is? I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. It's just easier just to say no. You can be a dumb person.
Oh, guaranteed.
You can just be a dumb person in charge. Just say no, and you're fine. You won't get fired. Just the problem with the LCBO over the years is it does not allow for intellectual flexibility. It does not allow for nuance. It's either one side or the other, when most of life is in the middle. So how has, in your mind, how has COVID started to change and loosen some of these? Again, I call it a combination of it's draconian / paternalistic laws and rules that the LCBO has over the citizens of Ontario.
Well, look, one of the things that people have been trying to get for the longest time is the ability to sell wine out of anything but the LCBO store. So, you know, years ago, they were grandfathered in to be able to do the wine rack and those things. But
yeah, the wine rack's great. Every air, if you want 12 different types of Peller, we got it for you. Otherwise, keep moving. Yeah. No offense, Peller.
Yeah.
I just want more selection. How about something from Prince Edward County?
So what happened is, because of COVID, in order to help the restaurants, they allowed for restaurants to sell by the bottle out of their store. And they said, we'll do that until December the 31st. Well, you and I know that if everything goes very well up till December 31st, which it hasn't, it does, and there's no looting and carnage in the streets, that toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube. And I know that the board knows this stuff as well, which is why they say no to everything. Because once you've gotten the population used to the ability to just walk down the street and buy a single bottle of wine that's out of consignment or private order from La Palette on Queen Street, and all of a sudden on December the 31st, they go, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. That's when people get upset. So we all know, or knew, I don't know if it's official or not yet, that this is just going to keep going, but of course.
No, it's official. It's official.
Oh, is it? Okay, great.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, if I can interrupt.
Of course.
Good name drop. I love La Palette. I forget the I feel so bad. I forget the name of the wine manager and the owner of that place, but he's got a great selection of funky French stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I was in there not that long ago and bought this awesome Hungarian wine that was sold to them by Le Sommelier, Bernard Stromwasser's company. Yep. And it was awesome. And I mean, I wouldn't have tried or had that otherwise. And then as soon as I had it, I called Bernard and said, let's get a case of that because it was terrific. But anyway, so my only point is that what COVID has done is it's forced the hand of change for a number of different reasons and progress of a lot of different rules and regulations and things like that. And and it's just going to become more so. And so, you know, agents being able to mix cases, that should have happened a long time ago.
Yes.
There's a whole raft of stuff that can happen. You know, look, you know, there's pretty hard to find positive things about COVID, you know, but if you're looking for a bright side, from a regulatory perspective, this has made a difference. And look, from a charity perspective, this is now a permanent thing. And so charities can now begin to raise this money. And I know that the TSO will raise way more than they ever have through this. So I'll be excited to, you know, come back to you in a few weeks and say, you know, we were right. And here's how much they raise as a percentage to their total value. So that's how it's changed, you know, from an auction perspective. And there's, you know, there'll be a number of other things as well, I'm sure.
And this is great for restaurants right now. And it's going to be great for restaurants when things go back to normal. And also for consignment companies. Like, I'm the exception. I'm sure you are the same. I don't mind buying a case of wine because if it's a wine I like, I'll have some bottles. I'll throw some away. It's not milk. It's not going to go bad. But for 91% of everyone else, sometimes they don't want to buy a full case. Like having the mixed case, it's going to help these small businesses. And that's part of what government's supposed to do. Government is there to supposed to help the citizens and business. And the fact that it's taken this long is ridiculous.
Well, look, consider it this way. You've got wine racks and stuff, which I won't get into the reason why they are allowed to be and not others. It's grandfathered back to, you know, a long time ago. But consider that some of these well-funded Ontario wineries, or maybe a few in aggregate, want to open up a store in the Eaton Center that will support Ontario wine sales. Why can't they do that? So if you think about that, if you want to really support, like, first off, I don't think the LCBO should be doing other than promoting Ontario wineries.
Yes.
Right? And so let stores and other guys do it. And people continuously, one thing I think the LCBO has been great at is making people believe that the province will lose all this tax revenue in the event that it privatizes. That's 100% not the case.
Never going to happen.
All you're going to lose is the retail overhead. Taxes stay the same, and now you don't got to pay the retail overhead. You give that to the stores or the Loblaws or whoever's willing to take on that business risk. If we allow businesses to make their decisions as they do in every other part of the world, that if they have a good product, if I want to open up a little shop that just says Alsatian Rieslings at Yonge and Eglinton, why not? And if it fails, that's on me.
And by the way, I'll be there on the first day. If it fails, it's not going to be because of my business. By the way, Ward, you should know this. One of the interviews I've done ages ago was a guy from Tokyo. He's got a wine store. And the only thing he sells in his wine store is wines from Canada. He can do that in Tokyo. Yes. But you couldn't do that in Toronto, where you have, and even if you just want to make it Ontario, where it's like, okay, there's our Prince Edward County, there's our Niagara, there's a Beamsville Bench, there's our, hey, do you want to try a cool climate varietal hybrid, whatever you want to call it, from Huron County? Great, there's some wine there. You could do that in Tokyo. You can't do that in Ontario.
Yeah. Well, so you know, to go back to your original question, I think there's a lot of very positive things that are happening because of this. And it really took this. Look, auctions were never going to get on, not never, but it's going to be almost impossible, very, very hard for charities to get an online auction without the catalyst that is COVID. And so now that we've got it, there'll be a lot of good things that come out of this. And so we're excited on that side, and we're glad to be able to facilitate it for them because, you know, when a charity used to say, we want to put on a wine auction, I would say, don't do it. Because even if you go out to your entire base and solicit wine, you now have all this wine and you have to be able to sell it, which means you got to get people into your event to sell it, or it's not going to go for anything. So it was unlikely. But you know, consider, Matt, that that we go out to these charities and we say, look, why don't you solicit for wine? And one charity comes back and they go, well, I only got 5 cases of wine and this one got 10 cases. And I mean, I could have a multiple charity online auction the same way I can have a multi-vendor platform of any kind. And so if these charities can put these on, they don't have to worry about how much wine they get, because whatever wine they get, we'll sell it for them. And it gives them the ability to raise money, and there's no risk for them in doing so. So that's a big benefit. And the other thing is, we can, the Toronto Symphony, as an example, started collecting wine a year ago to hold this auction. Well, maybe I hold the auction 4 times a year and give them a source of income, as opposed to a one lump sum at the end of the year. Why not keep the money rolling in? And by the way, now once I see this on the site, I'm also collecting data of what people are buying and what they want. And now I can go back to charities and say, look, here's what sells. So if you're going to solicit for something, solicit not just for wine, but solicit for Bordeaux pre-2000. Get specific. Things like that, where we can start to use the data that we can only get by doing these things online to lean them into what they really should do to maximize their return. So they just don't say, hey, give me some wine, and next thing you know, you've got a couple of cases of Skinny Girl Rosé that nobody wants to buy. So, you know, all this kind of stuff makes a big, big difference.
It's so true. But then the selfish me says, make sure there's enough Moselle, Cabernet, and Spatlese for the rest of us. Warren, before I let you go, just wondering, all your times doing these auctions, or also just wondering about coolest bottle, oldest bottle. Was there a wine that went for more than you expected, more that you were shocked? Like, how could this not be sold for more money? I'm just wondering about any sort of moments like that you've ever seen in your history of doing auctions.
Well, we've moved, we haven't done a lot at auction for clients since we've been a retailer. But we have moved, cases of Romani Conti into Chicago that, you know, became the highest one that they had. I've been at auctions where, I remember being at a couple of auctions where I've personally seen that, like, a half a dozen 1908 port about to pass. And so I quickly jumped up and grabbed them. And I mean, those are amazing. So I enjoy the process. We've moved a 6 liter bottle of 1979 Latache that wound up in Macau, I believe, for, $60,000 for the bottle or something. There's a lot of old, rare, interesting stuff, and you're going to find a lot of that old, rare, interesting stuff too at the TSO auction. And so when you go on to irongateauctions.com, what you should do, your listeners should do, is register their name and email address. And I mean, obviously they'll get information about the TSO auction, but all the other auctions that are coming up, they'll start to see them and they can participate. And, look, you don't have to register anything more than your name and email address. Only when you bid are you putting in your credit card information and all that stuff. But otherwise, it's innocuous. We want to make it simple and easy for them to go in and see the things they're looking for. And because it's technology, and my technology guy is one of the best in the game, we're always looking at ways that we can build it. So we're going to look to find ways that Matt can go in and say, I'm just looking for this Trockenbier Nauschlese, and those from pre-1989. And whenever those show up in an auction that's coming up, we're going to tell Matt that that's available so he knows to go and bid. So all those things that will only be allowed via technology are coming down the pipe, okay?
That is super cool.
Yeah, so I encourage your listeners to come in and register at irongateauctions.com, and I wish them success in their bidding. By the way, I will also mention just before we go, because this is a charity auction, no tax, no buyer premium. That's 35 points.
Oh, yeah. You can get wines at crazy deals. I'll just say when I bid before, and I got the Helen Turley, some crazy good Zinfandel. It was at a great price. It was like 6-7 years old, which is not crazy old for the old world, but for the new world, you know, that's some age on it. And I've bought a lot of wine from the Cystic Fibrosis at a really good price. And
thank you for that. Thank you for your support in that auction. It goes a long way.
No worries. I'm going to be, trust me. By the way, the Cystic Fibrosis one, when does that go on till?
The one that's on now, their online auction?
Yeah. And if you don't remember, that's okay.
What? I don't know. You may have to. Yeah, I don't actually, because that's not one that we're doing. They had the auction company that was managing their live auction. They're using their platform. You know why? Because they had a big credit built up. So they said, look, use this one and then we'll come over to yours afterwards.
I think
it's called Givergy, but it's a great platform. Not as good as ours, of course, but it's a good one. And so, but it's on now. It's on live as of, November the 11th. And it's probably a week. They usually run a week.
I was only asking because I got screwed last time of some Cabernet from Chile that I wanted to get, but irongateauctions.com for the TSO, that one's going to be crazy. When can I start looking at it? Because
right now,
when my girlfriend goes to bed, I'm going to start looking. Like, everyone's got their thing, you know, that website they go on, whatever their obsession is about. I'm going to go check that out because it's for a great cause, and there's so much crazy good wines. And also, you guys do a great job. Like, Iron Gate, you guys have been around for ages. It's so respected, and just the work you've done. Warren, I really appreciate you joining. And by the way, congratulations on your success and just your journey from just, wine storage down the auctions, like just your growth in the wine industry. It's a pretty cool story.
Thanks. It's mostly my ADD. I get bored really fast, so we got to bounce around a little bit. Thanks, Matt.
No worries at all. So again, it is irongateauctions.com. Warren, thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me at Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.